Hello, sacred beings. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Join us as we normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane.
Expanding consciousness and deepening awareness to support you in leading a life full of healing, meaning, and magic.
I'm your host, Britt Lynn, energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach.
I'm your host, Tana Lina, a certified astrologer, rebirth coach, and sorceress.
If you're brand new here, welcome, beloved. We are so grateful, so happy to have you here. If you're a seasoned sacred being, welcome back. Thank you so much for your support, for your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the show.
Let's dive in.
Hello, beautiful beings, and welcome to another episode of Sacred Sister Podcast. I'm your host, Britt Lynn, and we're heading into a personal episode today. I'm so excited. It feels like forever since I've done a personal episode. Hannah recently blessed us with a two-parter on what happens after we die, taking us into the world, or like the life between lives, and her own personal experiences with out-of-body experiences, and just life after death pieces with her clients and with herself. And it's such a fun avenue. Like, honestly, I love doing this project with Hannah because she and I are just so different. So what's this episode going to be about? I'm so excited. Today's episode is going to be on triggers. What even is a trigger? How do they show up in my life? What are the benefits of gaining awareness over my triggers? How to utilize triggers as catalysts for expansion and transformation in our lives. I think a lot of us think of the word triggers and something inside of us tenses up a little bit. Triggers can not be the most fun topic to talk about or the most fun concept to really do deep dives into. But in today's episode, I really want to really neutralize our energy around triggers and make them more approachable, more friendly, and truly neutral to look at and recognize inside of ourselves, because all of us have them. I think of this practice as being for the true truth seekers, because there are a lot of different ways that we can approach our personal transformation journey. And I like to think of this practice as being for the ones who are consciously looking for the transformation. They want to up level and they want to overturn various aspects of their own human condition that they are so tired of experiencing. There are different ways that we can come into transformation. We can experience spontaneous expansion and spontaneous moments of transformation that we don't necessarily seek out, that we're not necessarily looking for. Sometimes events just happen in our lives and we are changed as a result of experiencing them. So that I would associate as our external environment providing the transformation that we can't even necessarily escape. For example, a breakup, changing jobs, someone passing away, something that is either somewhat out of our control or entirely out of our control, that we are noticing ourselves being changed and transformed in adapting to the reality around us. Now, this practice of growing awareness over your triggers is more of a self-induced flame. That's how I like to think about it. It is for the being who actively searches and wishes to come into greater awareness over themselves and knows that discomfort and challenge is likely going to crop up along the way. It is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the lighthearted being that wants to experience a lot of sunshine and rainbows all the time. Growing awareness over your triggers can be incredibly triggering because it's a humbling process for us to witness programs and conditions, limiting beliefs inside of ourselves that are separated from wholeness. Just to be really blunt and honest, that separate us from wholeness, that separate us from compassion, right? When we witness someone and we're being triggered as a result of their expression, we are separating ourselves from them. And we, in conjunction to that, are noticing or have the ability to notice how we have separated ourselves from ourselves, because each and every one of us is able to experience all the wholeness of all that is within us. So when we see something or someone and we're triggered by it, we're witnessing an aspect of ourselves that we have fragmented ourselves from. And from this awareness, we're able to begin mending that fragmentation. And through this process, we're able to really study why we fragmented ourselves from it in the first place. And this whole process really induces a lot of healing, as far as my experience has been and the experiences of the clients that I do this with. Okay, let's pause. Time out. In this episode, when we talk about being triggered and triggers, what are we talking about? So triggers are anything that keep us from remaining in the present moment. They are things that disturb our emotional state. They can cause overwhelm or distress. They can bring up specific thought patterns or influence our behavior. Triggers can feel like strong emotions like anger or fear, anxiety, sadness, numbness, or feeling out of control. So one of the reasons I felt so inspired to bring this episode to Sacred Sister Podcast is because when we think about triggers, we can just think that those are finite aspects of our persona, and they are, unless we interrupt them. It's imperative for me to relay a message of, yes, we can consciously work with our triggers, and as a result, transformation ensues. You know, a couple years ago, I was interviewed on the Priestess podcast with Julie Parker. And at the end of the interview, she asked me, so what would you recommend? What is like the number one thing for people who are wanting to get to know themselves more fully and experience transformation in their lives? What would you suggest to them? And this was it. Get to know your triggers. Get to know what gets under your skin. Get to know what upsets you, what sends you into overwhelm, what causes you distress, and notice what affects your ability to remain present and in the moment. What disturbs you? What distracts you? I'm going to just toot my own horn here and say, go listen to that episode too. It is super enlightening. Episode 143 of the Priestess podcast, actually for the year, that was the number 3 episode for Julie Parker's podcast releases. I was shocked. I had no idea it was going to be such a popular episode, but it makes sense that it is, for people to be more interested about their true north path, which is what the episode was focused on. And, you know, one of the reasons that I feel like this practice really is set apart from a lot of other practices that we can utilize in the quote unquote spiritual community is because when we're setting new intentions, we are setting seeds for likely things that we have yet to experience in this human life, right? We're like setting intention, setting seeds so that we can grow into some form of ourselves that isn't embodied just yet. Same thing with taking empowered action, right? We are looking at and wanting to take action that we likely haven't stepped into in our lives yet. So this is a very growth-inducing force that really expands us. Whereas when we're looking into examining and self-studying our triggers, we are actively coming into greater awareness over things that we experience on a day-to-day basis and likely have been for years. So in this way, I feel like, yes, it is more uncomfortable, but maybe, you know what? The visual that just popped into my head, it's like diving into the deep end of the pool. Because for some people, if you're brand new to the intentionality space, like living more intentionally, it might be incredibly challenging because we deal with triggers on a day-to-day basis. We have triggers likely every hour of our existence, some type of trigger, especially if we're just starting out with this work. It's not fun to talk about, but it is for someone like me. You know, my husband tells me all the time that I like run towards stress, and I don't like to think of it like that. I like to think of running toward truth. And looking at triggers, first, let's get really clear on what a trigger is. Think of another way that we utilize the word trigger, the trigger of a gun. What happens whenever a trigger is pulled in a gun? So a gun is a machine that has this whole system inside of it. And when the trigger is pulled, that sets a whole field in motion where the little hammer strikes the bullet takes off, and the trigger is the piece that really sets that cycle in motion. So when we think of triggers for ourselves, we think of little things that set us off in a really similar way. We think of judgments that we can hold toward others. We can think of wounds or shame aspects inside of ourselves. Really, it's anything that makes the skin stand up on our body, makes the hair stand up on our skin, things that really get underneath our skin, things that we really don't like, that we feel are distasteful, things that rub against our grain and the beliefs and conditions and programs that we currently have running inside of ourselves. So the way that we're going to be looking at triggers is from the lens of the crystalline core. I've spoken about the crystalline core, and this is the aspect of self that I like to identify as the fully intact, whole, healed aspect of the self. Each and every one of us has a crystalline core, and the way that I like to think about this is truly an illuminated cylinder that is encapsulated up the spine, that is at the very center of each and every one of our chakras, that is aligned, that is flowing, that is vibrant, that is whole, that knows of its uniqueness, that knows of its brilliance, that knows of its illumined expression and its exalted state within each and every one of us. I want to breathe into that for a second. Really nice deep breath in, each and every one of you listening to this right now. Exhaling, sigh it out. Each and every one of us, you listening to this right now, beloved, you have a crystalline core within you right now. It was intact whenever you came into this incarnation, into this body, into this vessel. You were completely in touch with your fullest expression. And over time, this is the way the human condition goes. Over time, we begin to be shrouded with the programs, conditions, and beliefs of those around us, right? We're like a little sponge whenever we're first born, and we're intaking the perceptions of those around us from a very young age. So these beings around us, and yeah, the people around us, are helping us build our perceptions of what life is, what life isn't, what is to be done, what is not to be done, what's right, what's wrong, where you get love, what you do that doesn't get love. We start to learn so much about our surroundings, and it's only when we come into our conscious state as humans, whenever we grow, maybe you're grown in a very conscious household, and if so, that's like so beautiful for you. I know that I wasn't, but in the last 8 years of my own personal tireless, devoted, and passionate self-study, I have come into the realization that I was able to get in touch with my crystalline core. And I began utilizing triggers as pathways to connect me with my crystalline core again. And this is where the beautiful field of svadhyaya, of self-study, comes in, because when we notice that we're really bothered by something that someone else does, or that we're really triggered by something that our friend says or that our partner does, it really provides us some beautiful information to hold up a mirror to ourselves in that moment and truly inquire within, hey, what's going on? Why do you feel this way? Why do you feel so strongly about this? What is it about this experience that illuminates you to the conviction that you hold over the belief that's being triggered right now? And I know that some of this can be a pretty like meta, this is a pretty introspective realm of conversation. It really is, because we're talking about a lot of non-physical aspects of the human experience. We're talking about our psyche and the way that it operates. This is my realm of fascination. This is what my life is devoted to, what my business really stands for, and what I help my clients do through gaining deeper self-awareness and coming to know the self more fully. Because through gaining awareness over ourselves is the gateway to truly stepping into a conscious, empowered state in our lives that we're able to say, oh yeah, I'm a conscious human. And just because I hold this belief right now doesn't mean that I can't work with this belief and that I can't do the investigation to come to know where I learned this belief, who taught it to me, and in what moments of my life. So let's come back to the topic at hand, triggers as catalysts for expansion and transformation. I'm going to share a couple of my own experiences of aspects of my own life that I was deeply triggered in, and then come into the process of how I began really unfurling this and how my current reality is entirely different than it was in that triggered state. And I want to be very clear about this. The reason that I'm sharing these personal experiences is because I wish to bring life and breathe life into this concept of self-study, self-inquiry, and personal transformation. And through sharing my own personal experiences, I hope to inspire you to begin asking yourself deeper questions. We can do all of this work on our own, which is the way that I've done it organically. It was an organic process stemming from my own identity crisis. So I felt like I literally had a blank slate to begin with, because I truly felt like I had no idea who I was, awakening at 25 years old. And I'll mention this too, if at the end of this episode you feel as though you would like guidance and support in doing this, this is exactly what my 3-month one-on-one container, The Wild Within, is curated for. It is curated for beings who are really excited about coming to know the self more fully and transforming various aspects of their own consciousness. I want to let you know too that I just opened 2 more seats in the Wild Within program, and I'm going to be raising my prices after these 2 seats are filled. I've been receiving a lot of feedback from current clients recently and people just telling me, oh my gosh, this is such a no-brainer, because I thought this program was going to be so much more expensive. It feels so good to hold so much awareness over the value of this container and this work. If this is exciting you, then you can go onto my website, britlynlabeuf.com, and check it out. You can even shoot me a DM on Instagram letting me know that you'd like to inquire further. And even on the sales page, you'll be prompted at the bottom of the page to schedule a clarity call with me, which is a 30-minute phone call where I call you and we talk about where you're at in your life, what it is that you desire transformation to occur within. And at the end of that call, you will know if The Wild Within is your next step in your next chapter and phase of evolution. Now, back to the topic at hand. Everything inside of us, everything about the way that we function, operate, speak, think, believe, stems back to somewhere. And it's through this practice, this ancient yogic practice of self-study, that we're able to come into self-knowledge over ourselves, to truly come into awareness of who we are and what experiences we've had that have led us to exactly where we are. Everything about us exists in the realm of consciousness. And the really beautiful part about us as humans that sets us apart from all other beings is that we're able to work with our consciousness, that our consciousness is malleable, and that we're able to come to understand it, shift, change, manipulate, and morph it, transform it. Okay, so I'm going to share maybe like 3 or 4 pieces of triggers that I've transformed over time. And one of the parts that I love about this work, this is kind of where I would implement the trigger warning. Sometimes we put trigger warnings at the beginning of things just so that people are aware and they can make their own conscious decision about what it is that we're going to be talking about, just in case that topic is not conducive for their place of healing. So I'm going to talk about body dysmorphia, sexual empowerment, dance, and probably song. So the first body dysmorphia, I probably have the deepest relationship with, as well as sexual empowerment, because those are such fundamental aspects of the human experience. And it was so deeply ingrained in me from such a young age. And I remember first starting to get really triggered in this area. First off, body dysmorphia is witnessing yourself as in just a way that you are not, actually. It's having a dysmorphic view of yourself. For instance, I was incredibly underweight for a very long time, and I thought that I was the same size as everyone else. I picked myself apart because I actually thought that I was much larger than everyone else, and I would just have all sorts of different ways of restricting my eating habits so that I would be very small. And the reason, or like the trigger that would come up for this, was because my mom a lot of times would just comment on my body from a very, very young age. She would really praise whenever I was small or when people around us were small. It was like a thing where all of her friends kind of talked about their, it was like big time diet culture, right? So it's like doing Prism and having all these diets and doing all these exercises and talking about measurements and talking about their weight and how much they were losing or gaining. And it was just kind of the environment that I grew up in. And I remember specifically my mom and my sister both telling me that I wasn't always going to be as small as I was then. And the kind of personality that I have, when someone tells me that I can't do something, I commit myself to it 1,000%. And there's something inside me that's like, huh, I'll show you. And I think it's a lot of my 11th house placements, which is ruled by Aquarius and also my Aquarius Pisces North Node. So, yeah, I've just always had this inside of me, and I remember them telling me that and me being like, you just wait and see. I'm always going to keep myself at this size, which was like a 00 or a 0. And I did whatever I needed to do to keep myself really small. And I would also be triggered by my mom, because when I would go to her house, she would ask me to get on the scale. And I never used to realize, until she passed away, I never once realized how strange this was. It was kind of just like a part of what we did together, which sounds even more strange. But yeah, she like could always tell if I had gained a couple pounds, and she would always make a note of telling me about the fact that she could tell. And I associated gaining weight with like her displeasure and that it wasn't good to gain weight. So I always, again, kept myself really small in order to avoid these very triggering experiences for me. And this is the crazy part, okay? I didn't even realize that those were triggers for me, and that those kept me in such a restricted, small state until she passed away. And I noticed months after she passed away, I noticed that I was gaining weight, and there was this knee-jerk reaction when I first noticed. I was like, oh, this is bad, right? And then I noticed, oh, wait, the only reason that you used to think it was bad was because mom would comment on it all the time. And I'm allowed to gain weight now. It was the biggest realization, and it uncovered, it like sent me down this rabbit hole of like being obsessed with, healthfully obsessed with inquiring within myself all of the various situations and experiences and aspects of my life in regards to the body dysmorphia, because I had a whole lifetime of experience where I could be like, oh yeah, it makes sense that I am this right now because that happened and I told myself this at that moment and I kept continuing that belief, continue. And until we really create a like an abrupt break from our line of thinking that we've perhaps held our entire lives, the pattern is likely to continue. Unless we interrupt the cycle, it is likely to continue. Okay. So that's the first one. And it felt really good for me to tell my dad about this when he was still alive for the 20 months that he was alive for after my mom passed away. And it felt really healing to share all of this with him because I started gaining weight and I just shared this part of myself with him and it was illuminating to him as well. And yeah, at this time, yeah, I've gained quite a bit of weight since my mom passed away. And I'm really loving exploring my curves and just embracing this new body that I'm in. And simultaneously, this is important, I also noticed that my body dysmorphia, or rather body dysmorphia, I'm going to release the claiming it, the owning it. But the body dysmorphic tendencies still live inside of me. I still notice them popping up sometimes where I'm dissatisfied with my self-image, where I don't care for the way that I look, where I want to criticize myself in certain areas. And it's like the way that I think about it is on the inhale, I notice all these little body dysmorphic whispers. And then upon realizing their presence, on the exhale, I get to assess those whispers and I get to calm myself and I get to speak love into myself. No, Brittany, your body is strong. No, Brittany, this is health. No, Brittany, it's okay to gain weight. You look beautiful. And this is something that I really want to bring to the space of quote-unquote healing, because I don't think that healing, I think there's a big misconception, basically, in the world of spirituality. I feel like there's a massive misconception around healing and the concept of healing, as though healing or being healed is a place to get to. And in my experience, a lot of these, especially longer lived patterns inside of ourselves, they don't just disappear. They don't just disappear, but our awareness of the triggers, of the wound, of the trauma can surface. And as we gain awareness over it, we then gain the power with how we assess it in that moment. Just let that sink in. Upon gaining awareness over the trigger, we gain the ability, we gain the power with how we respond, with how we assess it. Do we let the trigger claim us? Do we let it crop itself up and ruin our day and send us off on a good one, off on a spiral? Or do we assess it in the moment and do what we can to calm it, to hold it, to allow it to be? I think that's one of the most healing things that we can do for ourselves, is not shun our triggers, not try to shame them away, not pretend like they're not there, But when they come up, because they're going to, we're never going to get to a place where we're just not triggered by anything. And even if we experience moments like that, likely they're not going to go on for that long. But in those moments, instead of bypassing them, are we able to really invite them into our reality like old friends and say, I love you. I see you. I witness you. I see your pain. And I'm here to tell you that it's okay. It's okay. You are loved exactly as you are. Instead of feeling like we should be further along in the healing journey, quote unquote, or the healing process, quote unquote. Okay, so there's body dysmorphia. So sexual empowerment, let's fucking go. I can't even tell you how jealous I would be and how triggered I would be when I would see a feminine figure embodying and embracing their sexuality. I used to think it was the nastiest, dirtiest, most disgusting thing in the world. I had such fierce judgment over these embodiments for the vast majority of my life. And a lot of you who have been listening to this podcast before, or like for a while, you have heard me talk about being raised as a born-again Christian and the fact that I was made to always wash myself with a washcloth. I was never allowed to touch my body. I like was told that it was really dirty to touch my own naked skin. And I just grew up with really, really severe programming around sex, around being intimate. I always wore a purity ring when I was younger, which a purity ring is like a Christian tradition where the dad buys the daughter a purity ring that is a promise to her family that she won't have sex until marriage. Well, that didn't happen. One of the funny things about really keeping topics like sex behind closed doors that I think a lot of us are becoming aware of is that we become very curious about what's being kept behind closed doors. And as a result of that, I had sex at a very young age. And yeah, whatever. I don't even need to start off on that, that topic. But just coming into awareness when I was probably in 2016 or 2017, when my husband and I started having conversations about pornography, and we had never had those conversations before. At that point, we had been together for like five or six years, and I just had never thought to start having these conversations. And upon learning that my husband did watch pornography and he just thought it was super normal to like keep it from me, it started setting off a whole chain reaction of stuff, like a shit storm in our marriage. And that was the beginning of me really starting to face my own like awareness over how wrong I felt that sexuality was, and just even like liking sex. I realized that I was a total starfish in my bedroom, which, hey, being a starfish and just like sitting there and kind of like letting whatever happen to you and enjoying it. I still just came into a lot of awareness over the fact that I had no idea what I liked. As an individual, I had no idea like what pleasured me as a person, as an individual, because I had always like kept everything so suppressed in terms of sexuality, and my sacral chakra was completely blocked. And I really started investigating that as well. All of these sexual trauma wounds, these memories that I had totally suppressed started surfacing at the same time. And I started talking about a lot of this with my husband, and he had no idea about it either. And we started getting into conversations about like, well, what do I idealize, and where would I like to get to, and what would I like to know for myself? And it was then that I started also taking a break from my battery-operated toys, like my vibrator, and I had one of those like clitoral like sucking machines. I feel like most of you know what I'm talking about. I don't remember what they're called. But yeah, I decided that I was going to take a break from those, and I was about to get married to Curtis too. So I was feeling as though this was like a perfect opportunity for me to like really come into my own awareness over like what I like in my own body. And Curtis got me a rose quartz clitoral stimulator as a wedding present. And that's when I started also bringing crystal wands into the bedroom and like crystal butt plugs and all sorts of different toys to play with. I actually have a YouTube video on the yoni wands and eggs and things like that that I have. You can go over to Britlin on YouTube and watch that video if you want to see my little treasure trove. But this was a huge piece for me in my life to really reclaim my sexuality and come into my own divine sexual expression, to really come into the fluidity of my desires and really allowing myself to breathe into my sensuality and to feel more deeply in my body and to claim my space in my bedroom with my partner. It was something that I had never known before with any of the previous partners that I had had. And it was something that I'm just so grateful that I said yes to. And the reason that I said yes was because I started noticing these massive triggers around other women being super sexy. And I just hated them for it. And when I started asking myself in those moments that I would be witnessing them and just hating them for being so sexy, I was like, why? Why do I feel that way about these people? And I heard a tiny, tiny whisper that said, it's because you want that for yourself. And there is nothing like that type of realization inside of yourself. Truly. When we have the courage to really witness ourselves in the truthiest of truths within ourselves, this is what I mean about coming back to the crystalline core. Each and every one of us has a divinely beautiful, ravishing, vibrant, expressive sexual nature to us if we allow it to breathe, if we allow it to live. Think of it in terms of seeds and farms and land. If you don't water your seed, it's not going to come to fruition. It's never going to bear fruit. And if upon realizing that you have a farm and that you have seeds in the ground that you're able to tend, and someone else comes over and lays a blanket of plastic over the seed, just being like, no, that's nasty. No, those seeds are gross. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Who steps forward to release that plastic from suffocating you? From suffocating your seed? This is the biggest thing that we can do as human beings, is step into a deeper space of consciousness and awareness over where we're suffocating our expression. It is the most important work that we have here as human beings. It's what I believe that a lot of us are purposed here for, if we so choose. Because this brings so much more vibrancy and awareness and life to life. It gives our life new meaning and new purpose to unfold various aspects of ourselves that have been kept sleeping. Truly. It is some of the most beautiful and challenging work that there is. I'm not saying this is always fun, not saying this is always easy. In fact, this is the hardest work that I can say that I've ever done in my entire life, period. Working with my consciousness, doing the inner work, liberating myself from bondage, that I have unknowingly placed myself in as a result of various beliefs that were imposed upon me. And not even always beliefs that were imposed upon me, but just experiences that we had where it was a safety mechanism or a coping mechanism. And, you know, be that as it may, this is where each and every one of us have the ability to deep dive within ourselves, to ask ourselves what it is that came in, which ones were beliefs that were given to us, which ones were incurred by life experiences, which ones were coping mechanisms. Truly, you want to bring more meaning into your life? Start asking yourself more questions about yourself. It's like I see celebrity culture and like celebrity media culture, and I'm like, if we all just cared about ourselves as much as we care about these people that we don't know and will likely never meet in our lives, man, the consciousness would be so much higher on this planet. And this is the beauty of this podcast and of this episode right now, because each and every one of you here, you beauties, especially if you're here half an hour into this episode, it's like, my goodness, we are sacred kin. You obviously have some resonance or some trigger going on inside of you. Either way, you're here listening to this episode right now. And the reason that I bring it forth as such an expansive practice is because I have firsthand witnessed how transformative and expansive this practice is. Firsthand experience. In each and every chakra, I have had at least two life-changing experiences. Trust me, I know it's at least two because I've been keeping a catalog for 8 years now. In all of my journals, I have all of the records. It has been the most beautiful experience of life, and that's how I birthed the title of the Energetic Cartographer. Because I ever since I was like 2 or 3 years old, when my parents first started asking me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I always said, a map maker. I want to be a map maker. Like, who says that? Who even knew that map making was a thing? And when I was younger, I used to have these visions whenever I was like too young to even remember like how old I was. I was like definitely under 5 years old. I would have these visions of being up in an airplane and looking down at the world and drawing the maps of what I would see. And that's exactly what I do now. As an energetic cartographer, I map energy within our consciousness. It is the most cool piece of my life story. This is how I know that I'm doing exactly what God, Goddess, creator of all that is, Great Spirit, universe has placed me here for. This is what I'm here for in this lifetime. I love how my life story looks, my self story. Studying the cells of myself and who I'm here to connect with is other beautiful beings who are just as curious to get to know themselves more deeply. In my mind, I'm like, I know this is turning into a multi-million-dollar business, and I'm just getting started because this is the most important work that all of us can be doing right now. With all the crises of the world that are going on, all the mental health struggles of people feeling isolated and disconnected from themselves, disconnected from others, which is really a reflection of disconnection with ourselves. To be more in touch with and connected to who we are brings forth a whole bevy of various experiences that we're able to go out and experience for ourselves to really quench our thirst for experience. And with that, here I am 37 minutes in. There's two more that I said I was going to talk about, dance and song. And I think it would actually be a really nice thing for me to make this one a part two, too. We're at 38 minutes. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here. And I must say, after recording this episode, I truly feel as though this break was so lovely. I hadn't let out a personal episode in well over a month. And I just feel so revitalized. I feel so refreshed. I just am in love with this personal episode. I hope that you are too. Oh, and I want to share with you all here at the end of the episode, especially just for the beings that are here, because I know it's a longer episode. Y'all are the tried and true sacred being tribe. So I want to just share this super exciting piece that I just experienced. And this is a reason why I feel so revitalized as well. So, the last couple months, I have been going through such an expansive phase in my life. I have been keeping myself so tight and so restricted in terms of my own self-expression. And a couple weeks ago, I came across this beautiful woman named Shoshana Raven. She is the host of Living Brave podcast, and she has a thriving seven-figure business around shame slaying and just helping women rise in their power. And I discovered her like in a very synchronistic way. I won't go into the whole story, but basically at the end of this live that I quote unquote randomly tuned into, because I never, hardly ever tune into lives unless I have it scheduled and I know that I want to show up to it. So I had randomly clicked on this woman's live, and at the end of it, or like through the duration of it, she was just talking about so much stuff that I needed to hear in that exact moment. It was true medicine tuning into that live. And at the end of it, she goes, "By the way, we are starting a new segment on Living Brave podcast where I'm inviting 5 people on and we are going to blast through whatever is holding you back in your life right now. Whatever challenge you're experiencing in your life, we're doing a 35-minute power session and it's going to be aired on the podcast. So if you want to be considered, go into the link in my bio and fill out the application. We have a ton of applications, so it's going to be a really hard time picking who gets chosen for the podcast. Blah, blah, blah. Love you. Bye." And I was like, immediately. It was like 1 a.m. I go to her link in the bio and I fill out the application, bare my soul, fill it out so vulnerably at the challenges that I was experiencing in my life. And a couple days later, I get a DM from her and she goes, "Oh my God, congratulations. I couldn't wait to DM you." And I was like, "Oh, what are you talking about?" And she goes, "The podcast." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, are you telling me that I won one of the spaces?" And she goes, "Yeah, my team will be in touch with you soon." I was like, "Oh my gosh." So I was super nervous to go on this call, but the call was probably 2 weeks ago and it was so powerful. I received so much of the permission that I need to stand tall and stand as the empowered woman that I am and shine brighter and be bigger and express more of what's on my heart. And I will be letting y'all know when that episode comes out. Already 3 of them have been released and there were 5 total. So I want to say it's going to be released in the next week or two. So you can already go on to Living Brave podcast. It's a beautiful podcast with Shoshana Raven. You can subscribe to that and be notified, or definitely be following me on Instagram. I will be sharing when the episode comes out on Instagram at Britlyn Rising. BRITTLYNN Rising. We change whatever we want to change when we show up to fucking change it, period. We change and transform. We have the ability to expand in whatever direction that we want to. My love, listening to this right now, you have the ability within you to transform and expand in whatever avenue in your life that you want to. if you believe in yourself and will yourself to do so. If you have inclinations of how to do it on your own, do that. If you need to hire a guide, do that. We're here to grow and expand as humans. I love you so much. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Can't wait for part two. And yeah, we'll see you soon. Thank you so much for being here. Namaste. Thank you so much for listening to this episode today, beloved. If it resonated with you, we ask you to please share it with your sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. You have no idea the impact a simple share can make in someone's day, life, and growth.
And another way to show your love and support is by leaving us a rating or review on the app you're tuning into this from. And if you hang out on Instagram and your feed is in need of more uplifting and conscious spiritual content, follow us at Sacred Sister Podcast. So with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful day and we'll see you in the next episode.
Namaste, beloved.